Moving on.
Well, wait a minute.
Yes.
We need to adopt number 7.
There's a couple more that I want to talk about. This is regarding the forum.
Well, wait.
Senator Green?
Well, so you're omitting or and give these instructions?
On page 30 of version B, right. On line 25, relief from pain. We're taking out the current language, lines 26 through 28.
Mm-hmm. You're putting in...
Oh, okay. So, no, yeah. 4 stays in.
4 stays in, yeah, so we need to delete that. Thank you.
So you're putting in the new language, page 20, 30, line 26, I direct the treatment be provided at all times for the sole purpose of the alleviation of pain or discomfort or...
Semicolon.
Okay. So now you're wanting to expand amendment number 7 to include some more stuff?
Some more stuff we want to talk about in the optional form that would fit right nicely after relief from pain.
Okay. Go.
This is Senator Dyson. This is this would be a conceptual amendment, and we would still need to work this language out with Senator Guest, yourself, and Dr. Wallington. This would be an option for someone to discuss their attitudes and directives regarding the situation of their pregnancy.
All right. So what I'm going to do now is ask that we adopt amendment number 7 as far as we've gone. Is there objection to that?
Mr. Chairman, right. I would just suggest we call that 7A. And the next one will be 7B.
All right. Thank you. 7. All right. We've adopted 7A, which is the page 30, line 26 and following language. Now we'll do 7B.
Okay. The language would be essentially, should I become unconscious and I am pregnant, I direct that. And then it would follow on page 31 how we handle other wishes. So we would leave the option open for the woman to anticipate her pregnancy.
Right. I am going to object to that one. Questions on that one?
It hasn't been moved yet.
All right, somebody move.
I'll
move
it.
Move. 7B. Senator Davis moves 7B. And would you explain again for the record, Linda, what 7B says and where it goes? Conceptual amendment 7B.
It would come after pain relief and before other wishes. And it would essentially state, should I become unconscious and I am pregnant, I direct that. Or words to the effect. The idea is that the form is designed to have people encounter, confront these decisions. A woman who's young, filling out an advance directive, we want to encourage everyone to fill out these forms, but we want to have them think about this. And for example, there are one concern was expressed to me was, if I'm in a situation where it's my life or my child, I want my child's life to come before myself, my own. And that would be an opportunity for someone to state those wishes right here. They could be stated in other wishes, certainly, but without having an option for pregnancy, then it might not occur to the person filling out the form.
Okay.
We don't want the idea is not to trump the presumption in favor of life or what we worked on with pregnancy, but the circumstances that have come to me. Senator Guest has her concerns. But it was actually folks that were concerned about making it clear that they want their child's life to come before their own. Interesting.
Okay. So because we don't have this in front of us, does 7B then insert a paragraph E on page 30?
I think it would become a new 7. But, you know, pregnancy.
7, so other wishes would become an 8?
Correct.
So, okay.
All right.
Mr. Chair, are you going to keep your objection? Would you like me to speak to the... I guess I'll just state for the record. I mean, I've already stated that I have issues with the pregnancy section on that it overturns a health care directive. But regardless of if this section is in or not in, I think it's extremely important to have it in the health care directive so those conversations happen. Because I think, as Linda stated, I think most likely many people would make the decision of do everything you can if you can say, you know, you can save the child I'm having. If that's not in the health care directive, you get in some fairly murky water in here. It's not addressed in best interests, which, you know, I think it might be better to deal with pregnancy in best interests, but I don't think it hurts to prompt people to have those conversations. Not everyone gets to sit in committee rooms and know that they should have them.
Chairman Dyson?
Yes.
Dr. Wallington, yeah. I would support that. I think the major value of putting a optional form into the law itself is to give us a chance to prompt people to think about important decisions. And I think maybe the wording of that could be crafted a little bit more so that we could really prompt people to think about what the issues are and give us their wishes so that we can fulfill them for them.
Could I hear the language again, please? I'm sorry,
yeah,
I had
me
to
too.
Leave the room.
Linda?
Do we have copies
conceptual.
Of it?
No, it's just a conceptual.
It's a conceptual.
I think this is
Linda.
Way too important for
a
conceptual amendment.
It was something we thought about. Your staff and I discussed it at one point, and opted not to, but we discussed this in the photo. Should I become unconscious and I'm pregnant, I direct that, and then a couple series of lines.
All right, I'm going to remove my objection. Is there any objection to this conceptual amendment? Seeing none, 7B passes. All right, we got one more, and if we can get through this, then we'll see if we can get a clean draft put together for us that we can all look at in its context and see that things came out the way we wanted. I'll move Amendment 8. Somebody object, please. Senator Wilkin objects. Linda?
Senator Dyson, Version B discusses qualifying conditions, and we have we've got three qualifying conditions. A qualifying condition, again, are the situations that must be in place before the decision to withdraw life-sustaining procedures can be made. One of the conditions is state of permanent unconsciousness. The other one is terminal condition and incurable or irreversible condition. What we've done is merged terminal condition and incurable condition and call them terminal.
Okay.
And that was a compromise, and I worked that out with Chip Wagner from the Catholic Conference, and Dr. Wallington supports that, and our hope is that you would too. And the language follows. So we would have a short qualifying condition, number 35, and then we would add the definition of terminal condition. Again, this could be conceptual, so we could work that out.
All right.
The last one, life-sustaining procedures, we have adopted your language, Senator Dyson, that appeared in version X into the definition of life-sustaining procedures. So we have the definition section is dealing with three definitions, a modified definition number 35, qualifying conditions, a definition for terminal condition, which is the merged one, and then a modified definition for life-sustaining procedures.
All right, is there objection maintained?
No.
All right, Amendment 8 is accepted.
Before we adjourn, I would just like leeway from the committee to that we will, during between now and tomorrow morning, go through the bill with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that some of those, if there's inconsistencies in those phrases, that we could have those clarified, or not clarified, but just brought to the drafter's attention and fixed.
Right, and I will note for the record that there's a slight question about the judicial relief on page 15 and the definition of CPR on page 10 and 11. And we may have a little discussion on that.
Mr. Chair, I just want to know for the record, I still haven't been able to ask a question. I'll work with Linda on some issues off, but I'm hoping we'll have some time.
You betcha. Yeah. Yeah. Senator Wilkin.
Are you prepared to move HCR 31, traumatic brain injury?
I thought we did. Traumatic brain injury, Mike? We did that.
All right. Thank you. We'll take this up on Friday or Monday. We are adjourned. Thanks for good work. Thanks, Linda.